Father, we come to you again this morning, needed people, Lord. Sometimes we don't understand why things happen like they do, but we know they happen because of these bodies. The wage of sin is death. They're constantly, bodies are dying. And without the grace of God, we'd all be in eternity at this day. But now we have another day before us. We have to serve the living God. We thank you for that privilege. Thank you for being able this morning to open this book and to read the words of God that he preserved for our day, and we pray you'd help us as we try now to present your word to these people. May it be in such a way that we're to be a blessing, and God be honored, and Christ would be magnified, and the Holy Spirit have the right away in our hearts. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen. In Hebrews chapter 11, for the last three weeks, I've started a series on faith. This is the last of those three messages that we'll be preaching. First Sunday, we talked about what is faith. Last Sunday, we talked about the just live by faith, or we walk by faith and not by sight. Now, I want to read these three verses again, and then go over to 2 Corinthians 3, and then we're going to end up the last message on this subject, on faith. It says, now faith is the substance of things hoped for, the evidence of things not seen. For by it the elders obtained a good report. Verse 3, through faith, we understand that the worlds were framed by the word of God, so that things which are seen were not made of things which do appear. And then the writer begins to give some examples of faith in the Old Testament. We see, first of all, he mentions the faith by Abel. He offered unto God a more excellent sacrifice. Verse 5, we see Enoch. He walked with God and was not, God took him. He had testimony that he pleased God. Then in verse 6, we see these words written, but without faith, it's impossible to please him, for he that cometh to God must believe that he is, and that he is a rewarder of them that diligently seek him. Now in 2 Corinthians chapter 5, verse 7, the scripture simply says this, for we walk by faith and not by sight. Ladies and gentlemen, well, I want you to notice the first two words in Hebrews 11, verse 1. What we've said so far in the last 2 weeks to show us what God is setting forth in his word about faith helps us to understand that God wants us to see our faith brings reality to our soul today, even though we can't see it with the physical eyes. And these two words, in starting in Hebrews 11, I hadn't said anything about them as of yet because we want to look at what it said about faith, but watch these two words, but now. That's present tense. The writer is saying, but now. Notice again, but now faith, or now faith is the subject of things hoped for. Now faith is the subject of things hoped for. Now faith is the evidence of things not seen. God is setting forth that we can exercise our faith now. This is what the world understands. You're talking about faith, you're kind of fickle-minded, you're believing in something's not there, you're fantasizing, believing in a God we don't believe is there, some the world says, or someone says they believe in God, but it's not the God we believe in. But here, this Bible's telling us, for 2 weeks, 3 weeks now, and this is the third week, telling us why we walk by faith, because now faith is the substance of things hoped for. I already gave you that. That's the scientific, substance of scientific word that satisfies science in our mind. And then the evidence is a legal term which satisfies the legality of our mind in question about what God is doing and what God has said, if it's real or not real. And I say to you, he says that this is where we get our reality at. We've not seen these things physical sight yet. But we know that God exists because we've seen the evidence of him. We talked about that already. Also, we see that he says when we walk by faith, we have substance. God gave us that satisfy the evidence we looked at. As far as scientific minds are concerned, they want to see substance, and they study substance. They don't study fantasy. They study substance. And it satisfies their mind what they see in science in that substance. Well, God says when we walk by faith, the faith is our substance because God is one who brings it to existence. And because God existed, he's in the spiritual world. He is bringing to our mind now about what's happening in the spiritual world. So it's substance for us. We know it's real, and it's evidence for us because of that. Now, ladies and gentlemen, listen to me. Faith is a way of living. And God tells us about that way. Faith is God's approval of our lifestyle. He gives us information. This book, you'll never know the true and living God unless you know Him through faith. The Bible says that without faith it's impossible to please Him, and we must believe that He is, first of all, that He is, and if you believe that He is substance, then you're going to accept Him. But most of the people say, well, I believe God exists, but they won't accept Him the way He presents Himself. And you've heard me say over and over again, unless we learn that we have to accept God the way He presents Himself, or we'll believe in a false God. Amen. You believe in a false God. And too many people today, even our ideas in our day, after we've been saved for a period of time, our ideas have deviated from the Scriptures, because the Scripture no longer has been preached as much as psychology and philosophy and things about health. Self-help promotion in our day. People are finding Scripture to prove for the psychological thinking of our day, to get people to think of how they can promote themselves more in this life to get more. And when you obey that, then God puts blessing upon that. That's not so. God blesses us because of obedience. Obedience, God blesses us. And now, a person in this world can work hard and get more many times in the world and leave God out, but he won't have it long. Well, she won't have it long. We talked about it already. So God is letting us understand that our substance is something you can't see that God has promised we're going to go to. And we know even now there's been things in this life God will give to us as we obey Him, and we'll find out the things in this life are soon going to be over with. So here, God's approval lifestyle, we walk by faith. God gives us information. He gives us the ability to think and to use words. And He gives us information to exercise faith in Jesus Christ as our Savior. And ladies and gentlemen, I've said, I don't know how many times, and I've said again, without faith in Jesus Christ first, you'll never know the true and living God. And you won't hear that much in the pulpits across this world today. They leave it out because to preach that, it says narrow-minded, and they say you exclude everything else. Well, if God excludes everything else, we better exclude it. And this is the thing about in our day. We don't want to psychologically affect anybody else because it may bring some problems to us later on. The one that I'm concerned about standing before God, not people. Amen. And by the way, you should be that way too. We all should be that way because God wrote this book. If He didn't write this book, what are we doing here today? If God's not the author of this book, we'd be better off fishing somewhere else where a lot of folks go on Sunday. You know that? But God wrote this book, and God spoke this book, and He gives us information about things the world doesn't know about. We already talked about that, how they're looking at where do we come from. And I'm glad I already know where I came from, the hand of God through procreation. We know where things started because God gave us the information. But what I'm saying to you now, we've got to accept that by faith, and that God says will give us substance. He'll give us evidence of that. Faith is not a game. It's not a gimmick. It's not just wishful thinking. In Romans 1:17, the Bible says, the just shall live by faith. Why? Because in Hebrews 11:1, He says, now faith is the substance of things hoped for, the evidence of things not seen. No wonder. Even Habakkuk said, the just shall live by faith. But he didn't know enough about it, as we see Paul writing in Romans chapter 1. The just shall live by faith, because faith is the substance of things. And notice He says, now. That's present tense. That's where we are now. My faith now, your faith now, is the substance of things hoped for that God has promised. Amen. Your faith now is the evidence of those things that God has promised. Even though we don't have it in our hand, we have it in our heart, and we almost have it in our hand, the only thing that keeps us from having beyond this life is there is a veil we got to go through. We got to get out of this flesh and get in a glorified body. And when we get there, we're going to see not only did He bless us here because we obeyed Him, not only do we accumulate things here, but we laid up treasures in heaven because to obey God is to have promises there fulfilled as much so as here. And so here, I look at this thing, now faith. Now faith. You cannot understand the Bible with just intellectual perception. In Romans chapter 6, if you look with me, go back and you'll see down a few verses of Scripture. In chapter 6, verse 14, down a few verses, notice what Paul said. He said, for since you shall not have dominion over you, for you're not under the law, but under grace. Now faith lets us see that. That was never seen before like we see in the age of grace. He said, sin shall not have dominion over you. In other words, sin, ladies and gentlemen, will not rule over you. For you're not under the law, but under grace. What then? Then he answers a question that most people ask. Well, if I'm not under the law, why can't I just go ahead and live and break it and live it up? It's not going to affect me. Yes, it will. The law itself will still condemn us. But we're not under it. The righteousness of faith is not the same thing as righteousness of the law. Righteousness of the law is keeping the law, and we don't keep it, we don't have the righteousness. And since we can't keep it, we come up short. Righteousness of faith is in Jesus Christ. For by grace are you saved through faith, and that's not yourself. It is a gift of God. You can't work for it. You can't muster it up yourself. It is a gift of God. That's what Paul tells us in Romans chapter 2, down verse 8 and 9. What shall we say then? Because we're not under the law, but under grace. He said, God forbid. Away with such a thought as that. To think that you could sin just because you're not under the law. Notice he said in verse 16, he clarifies that. Know ye not that to whom ye yield yourself service to obey, his service ye are to whom ye obey, whether of sin unto death or unto obedience unto righteousness. Now, before you trusted Christ as Savior, you were actually obeying unto death. Sin unto death, because you didn't know nothing about God's righteousness. I didn't either until I came to know Christ as Savior. And he says now, but now he's talking to the saved people here, and when he says that, know you not, he said to you, don't you know that you were service of of who you were in service here to whom you obey? It doesn't matter if you're obeying that which has to do with that in the world, satanic, or if you're obeying God. Before, you didn't know how to obey God. You thought you did, but you didn't. But when God came in Jesus Christ, gave us his spirit, then he says, now you have a power to overcome that old nature which brought the sin into your life. But he said, watch verse 17. But thanks be unto God. But God be thanks that ye were the servants of sin. That's where you got saved. That's all you knew. Well, you may have had a little religious activity once in a while, but if you were not born again, all you had was just a little religious activity to satisfy your own heart. You didn't know nobody else to satisfy, and you felt because you were satisfied that, you know, this God, whoever he is, will be satisfied. But here God said, again, but God be thanked that you were the servants of sin, but now you obeyed from the heart. There it is. There it is. That's where the faith comes in. You obeyed from the heart. And if you obeyed from the heart, that was faith. That was faith, because you ain't seen God in physical eyes yet, but you have his word, and the Holy Spirit is there to convince us. He said that from that form of doctrine which was delivering you. Now watch. Being then made free from sin, you became the servants of righteousness. Now notice, we're not free to sin. Somebody said, well, that'd be the case. I live like one. No, God is not saying you're free to sin. He said you're free from sin. You don't have to worry about it. You have the ability. You have the power. You have everything in you. If you grow in grace and knowledge, sin will not dominate you. It will not rule over you because you have a new ruler. And that's the Holy Spirit of God. See, this thing has been watered down so much today, people don't know what being born again means. I mean, we think we get it, and we think we had to work to get it, and therefore if we worked to get it, we had to work to keep it, and here we go. You know, listen, you didn't work to be born physically, and you're not doing anything right now to stay born physically, other than the fact that death's coming. We know that, but the reason death's coming, God said the wages of sin is death. We don't die because of sin. But he said the gift of God is eternal life through Jesus Christ our Lord. This is the depth of the scripture. This is what brought people to stand in the day when they have to stand and die for the cause of Christ, because they had more than the cloak of religion. You understand what I'm talking about, folks? A cloak of religion is not salvation. And you can put a cloak of religion on, you can take it off. But when you get born physically, you can't put the cloak of the physical birth on and then take it off. And then put it back on and take it off. You're born physically one time, you're going to die one time. You're born spiritually one time, and the day will come when you die, you'll die a spiritual person if you're spiritually and go home to be the Lord. But there'll be a lot of things you'll have to face in that particular day. Why? Because it's a birth. A birth is not religion. And hear what Paul's talking about. He said, been made free from law. Listen, faith righteousness and work righteousness are not the same. Work righteousness will never get us in the kingdom of God. Romans chapter 3 tells us that. And he goes on, he said, I speak after the matter of men because of the infirmity of your flesh. For as you have yielded your members servant to uncleanness and to iniquity unto iniquity, he said, even though, so now yield your members servant to righteousness unto holiness. Watch verse 20. For when ye were servants of sin, ye were free from righteousness. When you were servants of sin and knew nothing else, you knew nothing about righteousness. Well, we may have had a little something to do in the neighborhood, so forth. But Paul said, when it comes righteous of God, when you met the Lord, you were free from righteousness. You didn't know what righteousness was to the church at Rome. Then he said in verse 20, watch this. He says, now, speaking of this, since you are born again, what fruit had ye then in those things whereof you are now ashamed? For the end of those things is death. Since you've been born again, what fruits you see in those things that brought death before? Your fruit's got to be fruit that would actually show life. And he said in 4, what fruit you have in those things which you are now ashamed? Why would you go back and do things that you were ashamed of in the days when you didn't know what righteousness was? And he goes on, he said, for the end of those things that you're ashamed of in the past, those things are the ends to death. And he goes on, and he said, but now, I love that, there it is, but now, fruit, but he said, but now, been made free from sin and become in service to God, you have your fruit unto wholeness and to the end of everlasting life. Now, the wages of sin is death, there it goes, and the gift of God is eternal life through Jesus Christ our Lord. I have God's righteousness by faith in Jesus Christ, and not by works. Ephesians 2, 8, 9 tells me that. You see, you have Bible that gives substance and gives evidence to what God has said. It is God's word. And when he said in verse 3 of Hebrews 11 that he created the world by the spoken word, he spoke the world into existence. When he made that statement, giving us that assurance, he said that through faith we understand the worlds were framed by the word of his power. That I don't have a bit of trouble with that. Somebody said, I can't believe that. That sounds something like some magician would do. No, this is something God says I do. We don't have power in our words like he does. Now, words do hurt us, and we can hurt people with words, but you and I don't have created power in the sense that God can just take out of a vacuum and create something and speak it into existence. But he can sure do that. When God saved you, God's word made you better. Hear me now. When you and I got saved, it's God's word that made us better, so we could be better. Does that make sense? Without Jesus Christ, we don't know how to be better before God, because he's absolute righteous, perfection. But when we trusted Christ as Savior, Jesus Christ's blood cleansed us, and the Holy Spirit came in, and the word that drawed us, he made us better so we could be better. Why? Because we now have a power against sin. We can say no to that, even though sometimes we get trapped by it. Here, sin cannot dominate us. It cannot rule us. It cannot govern us. It can only influence us. And sometimes we let it do that. It can influence us. Romans 6, 16, that's exactly what Paul was talking about. He said, know ye not that to whom ye yield yourself servant to obey? He says, his servant ye to whom ye obey. Then he said, whether sin unto death or obedience unto righteousness. There was a time you didn't know nothing but what Satan had, and you thought it's yourself, and you sin unto death. But he said now, notice he said, whether sin unto death, or notice the second phase, or obedience unto righteousness, which had to do with God and accepting him. God's law was good. It was holy, but man could not keep it. And that's the reason we see in Romans chapter 3, he goes over and over about it. In verse 20, he said, therefore, by the deeds of the law, there shall no flesh be justified in his sight. For by the law is the knowledge of sin. The reason God gave the law so we could see what sin is. God said, this is what I'm telling you sin is. Then he goes on, he said, but now, there it is again. But now faith, we see in Hebrews 11. But now, he says, the righteousness of God without the law is manifested, been witnessed by the law and the prophets. Even the righteousness of God, watch, where's it at? In which is by faith of Jesus Christ unto all and upon all them that believe, for there is no difference. In other words, if you have the righteousness of God, you got it by faith in Jesus Christ, which Christ imputed to us, or God imputed to us, his righteousness. That's how we get it, by being born into the family of God. Now, faith moves you beyond the old ways of thinking. It moves you into believing that faith is the substance of things hoped for, the evidence of things not seen. Here, now, faith says, forget what happened yesterday, last year in your life, and don't try to worry about tomorrow, but now faith is right now. Trust God right now. Believe God right now. Believe him biblically. Biblical faith is what we're talking about here, not just ordinary faith. Believe him biblically. Don't presume upon God on something and claim it faith. Find out scripture what God says in faith endeavors, and believe him biblically, and God will see to it that that faith becomes substance and evidence to our heart. Let me give you 3 quick points on now faith. Number one is this. Now faith in Christ starts our relationship with God. You don't hear that much today. Did you hear what I said? Faith in Jesus Christ starts our relationship with the God of this universe. That's how we have it in the age of grace. In Hebrews chapter 12, verse 2, the Bible says, Jesus is the author and the finisher of our faith. If I didn't have another word in the Scriptures, I'd have to accept that. You go to Hebrews chapter 12, verse 2, and it says, Jesus is the author. He's the beginning of. He's the one who brought into existence. And not only is he, aren't you glad that the author is able to finish it? Amen. I'm glad what he gave me. Praise his holy name. I'm glad what he gave me, he's able to finish it. He's the author and the finisher of my faith. Where is my faith? In Jesus Christ. Without it, it's impossible to please God. How do you get it? You have to believe that he is. What does that mean? That he exists, and with all your heart and soul and mind, you know exists. And then when you use that faith to trust him as Savior, then that faith which he have in him will also trust him to serve him. We believe that he is a rewarder of them that seek him. You can't believe that he's a rewarder of them that seek him until you believe that he is. Then you have substance. Then you have, praise God, evidence that the world said, show me something. Show me God, man alive. Look up the heavens tonight. Look up there today. Just look around and see God. You got to be an intelligent design. You got to be an intelligent person as we look at those things. So Jesus often finished. The faith that we exercise in Christ at our spiritual birth is the same faith that God is working in us today. In Ephesians 2:10, this faith in Christ enables us to do things that brings glory and honor to him and further his word in this world. We are workmen, his created in Christ Jesus into good works, he tells us in verse 10. Sometimes we find it hard to live by faith. Why? Why is it so hard to live by faith? Because we're used to living by sight. And we lose a little faith in the physical world because we believe and presume that it's going to take place because we've seen others do certain things and we do that. Well, I'll look at that in a few minutes. Sometimes it's hard for us to live by faith. Why? We get faith confused with other things going on in our lives, and so we make choices and do things which are not by faith but by sight, and yet we say it's by faith. And by the way, if it's by sight, it's not by faith. Once, Paul said in Romans 8, once hope comes beyond hope, it's sight, it's not faith. So he uses hope not like the world, because our hope is going to happen. Why? Our hope is substance. You may hope for something that never happened, but I guarantee you, if God's promise is going to happen, whatever he sets forth that's in the future by faith, and you call it hope, you hope so, it's going to happen. But many things in this life we may hope for and never see happen. Why? Because our hope is presumptuous and it has no validity to it because we may not even be bringing it about. God lives to bring about everything he says. Known unto him are his works from the very beginning, the book of Acts tells us. So we understand that. Here it's easy to lose spiritual sight of what God really wants to do in our lives because it's all by faith. I like that. Hebrews 11, 1 through 3 gives us a definition of faith. And this is sufficient to give us some profound insight as to what we know and what we should act upon. Once I see it written in God's Word and I get it in context and I find out exactly where it's at, if it's me in grace or something I learned from the Old Testament, where it's at, when I begin to get it in line for my life and then I trust God for that and believe that, I can be sure it's going to take place. No doubt in my mind. Faith is not some cosmic intangible force. There is a substance to it in the sense that it actually allows us to hold to the eternal. There is evidence that we know that it's true. It gives us that which we can hold to the promises of God and know it's true, though no one can see it. No one can see it. One of these days, this old veil of flesh is going to be laid aside. And are we going to be surprised when we wake up in that glorified world he's prepared for us? That world's going to be much more greater than what a little baby coming out of mother's womb coming in this world sees. And that's an amazing thing. You heard me say before, can you imagine what a little baby in a mother's womb all of a sudden going to go down a canal birth? And he said, I don't want to go. Or she said, I don't want to go in that world. I'd rather stay here. This is a comfort. I'm fed. Everything I'm taken care of. And my mother's doing everything. My health thing's great. I just don't want to know. I don't know what's in that world. And you try to tell it, all this and that and the other, look how great it is. And so, no, I don't know that. But, one of these days, the birth pains delivers a baby, doesn't it? Y'all don't think there's anyone in here that want to leave this and go back to the mother's womb, do you? You say, preach, that's silly. No, it's not. I'm showing you a point. And I tell you, when you get to heaven, not a one over there won't come back here either. You see what I'm saying? Because that is this, you know, this is a gigantic world according to a mother's womb. And yet, on the other hand, ladies and gentlemen, when we leave and go through the veil of flesh into the spiritual world, ladies and gentlemen, that's greater than this world, bigger than this world. Things are much greater over there than here. And that's where God's at. And that's where God wants us. He's preparing a place for us over there. Again, it's not some logical, intangible force. It's substance. God lets us see the reality. Now faith provides a firm standing ground while I wait for the fulfillment of God's promises. Now faith believes God. Now faith relies upon God in His Word, which anchors my heart and soul in what and He has promised His supernatural reality. He anchors in our whole our heart and soul that it looks so supernaturally to the world, it can't happen. Isn't it an amazing thing? We know what God is doing is supernatural. And yet today, a little something can happen somewhere on the earth, has nothing to do with any miracle at all, and people will read into it a miracle. You may come in here one day or put up a door somewhere or another, and somebody says, you ever notice that? It looks like a man's head in that door. And all of a sudden, you got a shrine. All it is, a piece of pine somewhere or another got disfigured. You see what I'm saying? We won't believe in the faith that God sets for us to believe in, and yet we find things like that. I seen the other day, had a tailor chip, a potato chip they had taken out, looked like they said Christ's head. Nobody had it in a shrine thing going by and look at it. Go ahead and eat the thing, amen. You know, in the world, it looks like Christ's head. You know what we picture into? We want something so natural that we can see with the physical eye. Then we're making all kinds of excuses and yet won't believe God. Ladies and gentlemen, that's where we're at. That's where we're at. Don't hear much of that these days. This faith is not some pie in the sky in the by and by. It's the very vehicle which we can look at to the future with sure hope. Now, faith in Christ starts our relationship with God. Number two, quickly, everybody has some kind of faith. Wait a minute, though. It's not biblical faith. I'm talking about biblical faith here. We all have some kind of faith. The unbeliever has faith which they put into practice every day. We who are saved have faith physically we put into practice every day. I said some of that last week. This type of faith relies on what you can see or expect to see. You know, we talked about a paycheck. You expect to get a paycheck. That's faith in that. You work 40 hours. Hey, I don't know if anybody pays you 40 hours before you work, do you? That way you'd be sure you had it. If you know somebody pay you 40 hours before you work, let me know. I'd like to get a job with them, amen. Most days, some of us will, wouldn't it? No, we pay after. Why? Well, if you work for that person, then you understand. You believe they're going to, and most time by sight it happens. But you don't know that at the time, but you believe that person. It may be a car that someone wants. It may be a bank that you're dealing with. It may be an account. It may be a promise. Someone may promise you something and not keep that promise. On the other hand, man sometimes promises things he just can't keep. Do you know that? But God never promised anything He can't keep. And therefore, I receive that by faith, knowing that He's going to do that, you see. This type of faith will never rely on God, whom you cannot see, because we're going to see it for it really become true faith. And yet, it will never go beyond physical sense, according to Romans 8, verse 22 through 25. Salvation is a gift. And it's part of that salvation package in the faith that enables you and I to believe God for all His promises. We have to believe Him for salvation. Did you know, ladies and gentlemen, if you're saved, you've got to still believe God. You didn't get saved without believing God about His Son. You had to believe in Jesus Christ to get saved. You know who told us about the Holy Spirit? The Holy Spirit gave us documentation and the fact that believe on the Lord Jesus Christ and thou shalt be saved. Told us how. If thou shalt confess in thy mouth the Lord Jesus, believe in thy heart, God raised him, thou shalt be saved. If you got saved, you got saved by believing that God said. Amen. Then we have to also realize, hey, anything else comes because we believe Him too. It starts there. Then we believe Him. So it's a gift. To trust Christ, trust in your faith in Christ as Savior shows that your faith in God as creator of this universe. Hebrews 11:3. He said, through faith we understand the worlds were framed by the word of His power. Isn't that amazing? When you see that through faith we understand, all of a sudden you think you're going to see something great, and all of a sudden you do. But most people, how can that be? It can be because God said it so. By the way, did you know that Hebrews 11:1 just is true It's John 3:16. Both of them are written by God. Do you know that Hebrews chapter 11, you know, also Hebrews chapter 11, verse 6 is just as true as Romans 10, 9, 10, 13, and 17. What we're seeing is that God's word is true, all of it, it's none. Well, we don't believe that, preacher. We believe it's partially true. If I believe that, I'd quit. I'm smart, but I'm not that smart. Neither are you, or no one else. You can't tell which one would be inspired or not inspired. If it's partially inspired, how are you going to know? It's either all inspired or it's not. Why would God give us a partial inspired, knowing how fickle we are, why would God give us a partial inspired book and then say, hey, you find out which one's inspired and not inspired? You and I don't have that capability to know which one's inspired and not inspired. I'm glad when I wake up and come to this book, when I turn the pages, I don't care what page I'm reading on, I believe it's inspired of God. Therefore, I entrust it. It may not mean nothing for me because Old Testament, wherever, it may have to get in context, but I believe it is God's word to my heart, and I thank Him for that. Understand this day. So to trust Christ as Savior shows that you have faith in God. Let me ask you, who in their right mind would believe that this universe created itself? So I don't know if anybody believes it. If you believe in the Big Bang theory, that's what it did. It created itself. Ladies and gentlemen, matter does not have a mind of its own to will itself into existence. This, I don't care how many years this desk pulpit stays here, it can never will itself into anything else than what it is except rot and go back to the dust. It has no mind of its own. Someone said, well, preacher, I'm sure. We know that. Why in the world can you go back and look at all of this and say it had a mind of its own to start 15 billion years ago? Ladies and gentlemen, don't you understand that just meant a lot. I'm glad God keeps my mind a little more. You say, you're mixed up. Well, let me stay mixed up. I'm going where I'm mixed up about, aren't you? Amen. And I'm glad to see that in my life. And it takes a great deal more faith to believe that matter created itself than that a creator brought it into existence. One day, the substance of all will become the true reality. One of these days, what we know, starting with intelligent design, we know it to be God, one day it's going to come a reality. Ladies and gentlemen, just as sure as you and I draw our last breath, and we're absent from the body to be present with the Lord, it'll be a reality. But it's going to be much more when the rapture takes place. We're going to get a glorified body. Brother Joe, that'd be great, won't it, brother? Amen. Brother Schumann of the hospital just come to the hospital, went to see him this Friday night, and Thursday night late, and I'll tell you, praise God, there won't be no hospitals over there. Maybe no Obamacare over there either, amen. It's going to be Jesus care. And I thank God Almighty for that. And I don't say that to be sarcastic. I'm just saying that's just the way it is. Not going to be no American care either. And when we get over there, thank God we'll get back in one family, not in many nations. Oh, many nations will be there. We'll have harmony in that time. Whenever, it won't be like the physical body we have today is passing away. And the thing about it is, 1 John chapter 2, verse 17 says, "In the world passeth away, and the lust thereof." And before that, a few verses, he said, "The lust of the flesh, lust of the eye, the pride of life is what condemns us in this life." And he said, "That's all going to be passed away." You know, it's going to be passed away by and with Jesus Christ. It's moved it all. He's going to get us home one day. So faith in Christ starts our relationship, and then we find ourselves. Man has physical faith to some degree, but it's not biblical faith. And then the third thing quickly, we believe that God willed and spoke space, time, and matter into existence. That's biblical faith. We believe that. Darkness blinds the eyes of all men due to sin. 2 Corinthians 4:4 tells us that. Also, God opens the eyes and gives sight to the blind and brings life where there was death. Now, we're not just talking about physical light. He can. He sure proved that. We're talking about to every born-again child of God, He's taken those eyes that have been darkened by the world and Satan and opened spiritual eyes up to see things that God is doing for you and I in this life. He brings the light where there was death and darkness in our lives. It's through this faith in God, through Jesus Christ, that we get approval from God Himself. Ladies and gentlemen, there's no way that you and I could ever do anything to have God approve us on our own. This Bible tells us that. There's a lot of folks who want to do that. We're approved. If there had ever been a way that man could have, please hear this. If there's ever been a way that man could approve himself before God, Jesus Christ would have never had to come. The fact that God sent his son tells us we'd have never got there without him. Why would God send his only begotten son, who he loved, who had never been separated, send him to a little planet in the boondocks of this universe in our Milky Way galaxy and let him die on a cross? The God who made all of this down a cross, if there's some other way, he wouldn't let him come and be treated that way. But he did. Aren't you glad? He loved us so much. That's when he said, God so loved the world. God so loved the world that he sent his only begotten son. He just loved us. He so loved us. He was willing for him to come and take our place on Calvary. So God gave us eyes that we can see. Then why not put God, faith in God today? Well, I like to preach it when it starts with his son. Jesus said, "One of these is my beloved son. Hear ye him." Whatever he says to you, listen to him. See what he does and what he mentions. So now I go back and I look at Hebrews 11 as we close quickly. He says this. But now faith is. Other places we said, but faith. Now faith. Now faith. Now faith. Why not put faith in God today? Why not trust in him now? When the devil reminds you of your past, tell him, now faith in Christ is my substance. Not what you say. Faith in Christ is my evidence. I want you to know, I have news on you, Satan. I know where you're going. You're not going where I'm going. I'm telling you, faith in Christ gives you substance and gives you also evidence. When someone tries to discredit God, now faith says, well, along with you, as we see, get thee behind me, Satan, Jesus said. Get thee behind me when you try to discredit this book. Get thee behind me when you try to discredit the God that I'm serving. When the enemy comes against you, now faith. God has said, touch not my anointed in 1 Corinthians chapter 16, verse 22, in 1 Peter chapter 3, here's what God says in doubt about verse 13, chapter 3, it says in 13, 14, 15, and who is he that will harm you if you be followers of that which is good? But and if you suffer for righteousness' sake, happy are ye, and be not afraid of their terror, neither be troubled. But sanctify your Lord, the Lord God in your hearts, and be ready always to give an answer to every man that asks you a reason of the hope that you have. That's in you with meekness and fear, and have a good conscience that whereas they speak evil of you of evildoers, they may be ashamed, they falsely accuse you in your conversation of Christ. Now faith is that which in turn gets us through. Satan tries to threaten you, but now faith tells me that the Lord is my strength. Now faith tells me the Lord is my light. Now faith tells me the Lord is my defense, like it did David in his day. Ladies and gentlemen, now faith. John 14, verse 1 through 6. Now faith. In my Father's house are many mansions. How do I know that? Now faith gives it to me, gives me substance. She said, I'll come again, receive it in myself, that where I am, there you'll be also. How do I get that? Now, right now, today, faith gives me substance of that in evidence I hadn't seen as yet, but it's true. And she said, I'm the way, in verse 4, verse 6 in John 14. He said, I'm the way, the truth, and the life. No man cometh to me but by the Father. Now faith gives me that. Right now, present tense. Not tomorrow, not last week, but now. Right now. Faith gives that to me. It's my substance. It's my evidence. It's so, you see. The law can never save me. But now faith in Christ can. You see what I'm saying? The law can condemn me, but it cannot kill me. Why? It cannot destroy me in hell. Why? Now, faith in Christ's blood has given me something that I trust by faith. I have evidence of that. I have the substance of that. Are you seeing what I'm saying? Now, faith. Now, faith. We are. We don't need to pass over the day. Why? I don't have to take a lamb down through this temple for Passover or try to make a tabernacle somewhere or another. Why? Now, faith. In Jesus Christ's precious blood, Peter said, is my Passover. Now, Jesus is the Passover for me. Are you understanding? What did I get there? Now, faith. Amen. Now, faith is the subject. Man alive, I went through the scripture. It's amazing to me how I can use that, and you can too, because the first two letters, two words in Hebrews 11, one is now faith is the subject. Look at all that happens and it comes against us. When the world comes against us, now faith gives me subject. Hey, you're just looking at some fantastic Mickey Mouse stuff y'all are somewhere or another. Are you going to be surprised? Oh, are you so surprised? Because now faith gives me substance of that, gives me evidence of that. I don't worship in a temple somewhere or another. We worship in a church. Why? Because we represent the body of Christ. How do I know that? Now faith is letting me see that I'm part of his body, been baptized into it, Paul told the church at Corinth. I don't just follow Christ. Now faith, hear me. Watch this now. Don't misunderstand this. I'm not just a follower of Christ. Now faith makes me children of God that makes me want to follow him. Now faith did that. I mean, if I can't believe what he says about me being a child of God and how I get there, how can I have any faith at all about him, what he says other place? It's now faith. Can you see Hebrews 11, 1, how powerful it is? Now faith is the substance here to satisfy the scientific mind. Because reality is coming. Now faith is evidence here to satisfy the legal mind in a courtroom and certainly in God's court. Because one day, that which we see through the eyes of faith, we're going to be able to walk on that street of gold. Amen. We're going to be able to live in that mansion that God talks about. We're going to be able to see that altar where God put his blood in the portals of heaven. We're going to be able to see God the Father, God the Son, and God the Holy Spirit. We're going to be able to see him in actuality, in reality. But right now, I'm seeing through eyes of faith, and he's there. He bears witness to our heart and cries, Abba, Father. He's there. The more I study this book, the more I see through eyes of faith. But one of the days, stay sure, and soon, this thing's going to burst open. He's coming from the eastern sky. The trump of God's going to sound. The voice of the archangel is going to sound. And those in Christ are going to be raised first. And those that are alive are going to be chained and meet him in the air. Why? Now faith gives me that. His substance. It's evidence. Then I want to read to you, if you turn with me to Romans 8, 28, why I'm here. We're not got there yet. But why I'm here. Now faith helps me believe what he says when he says, we know that whatsoever things, we know that all things work together for good to them that love God. To them that are called according to his purpose. Notice he didn't say some part things. He said all things, folks. Aren't you glad of that? I don't know how this is today. I told Barbara, I said, you know, I said, Lord, I don't understand this. You could let me got sick tonight. I wouldn't have to preach 2 or 3 days. I got sick last night and tried to preach today. I squeaked without having cold. I'm going to really squeak this morning. I did. I said, well, I don't understand this. But Romans 8, 20, all things work together for good of them who love God. How do I know that? Now faith. Now faith gives me substance. Notice, folks, listen. Verse 34, who is he that condemneth? It is Christ that died, yea, rather that is risen again. Who is even at the right hand of the Father? Who maketh intercession for us? What do you mean, preacher? Now faith gives me understanding that Christ sits at the right hand of the Father right now, making intercession for this poor preacher. He's making intercession for you. He's making intercession for me to help me get the word out. He's helping make an intercession that you understand it. So when we leave this place, we all will have grown in grace and knowledge of the Lord and know for sure that God's word is true. You see, somebody said, well, I believe it's true. Ladies and gentlemen, if that's all you say, I just believe it's true, it won't be enough, because if you don't understand it's true enough to get in and study it to see what it's saying, you really don't believe it's true. And I don't either. He goes on. He said, who shall separate from the love of Christ? Shall tribulation, distress? Look in verse 35. In persecution, nakedness, peril. He said, as it's written, for thy sake we are killed all the day long. We are counted as sheep for the slaughter. Nay, but in all things we are more than conquerors through him that loved us. That's now faith. When I face with it, it looks like the world's going just against me. Makes no difference. Now faith gives me understanding that all things will more than conquerors. He said, I am persuaded that neither death nor angels, alive, nor principalities, nor powers, nor things present, nor things to come, nor height, nor depth, nor any other creature. I love that. shall be able to separate us from the love of God. How do I know that? Now faith. Without it, I don't know it. Folks, and here's something gets me. He lists about everything you could think of. And then just in case, you know, he could probably list a whole book of things said, but just in case he said, couldn't get them all, he said, now things present, nor things to come. Watch that. Nor powers, nor things present, nor things to come. Watch this. Watch this. For I'm persuaded that neither death, that's good, isn't it? Nor life, that's here in this life. Nor angels, that's spiritual world. Principalities, that's the worlds we can't even see right now. Or powers, nor things present, nor things to come. Nor height, nor depth, watch these next four words, nor any other creature. That includes Satan himself, because he's a creature. Shall be able to separate us from the love of God, which is in Christ Jesus our Lord. See, you better be sure you have it. That's the difference. So many people nowadays are in a rut somewhere or another, think they got him because they listen to some man-made ordeal. Ladies and gentlemen, you won't go wrong if you get in this book and get in context. You got to bear witness to your heart, and you'll find out now faith. How do I know this is true about separation? Because now faith gives me substance. Why would I even want to go back and live a lifestyle that would shame the Lord and shame me, anybody? Why would I want to do it? You and I will not arrive yet. This flesh, we battle all the time. We're fighting it. But let me tell you, though, it don't rule you. It's not a lifestyle. It's not governing you all the time. Sometimes you're weak. Sometimes you don't study as much. Sometimes you may not be as service as much. We may not obey as much. In a weak moment, Satan finds it and gets in the broken fence. A little broken fence somewhere or another. But if you're there, the Holy Spirit, and you get out of the will of God, the Holy Spirit will start dealing with your heart. Unless you shun this book. If you don't open this book, never read it, you have no access for him to work. He never comes to us other than through the word. He's like God. He works through his word. Now, faith. Whatever you face, find a verse of scripture that just fits you in a context. I mean that where is it you're in context. You don't want it to fit you out of context. If you do, it won't work. In context. And claim that promise before God and say, now faith, dear Father, now this faith is my substance. I believe it's so. I believe the Lord's coming back, just like he said, one of these days in the eastern sky. And then we'll all say, hey, that's just a little, you just got a little fictitious mind. You're dreaming. You know, no. To them, it's dreaming. To us, it's faith. There's a difference in dreaming and faith, folks. Faith, he says, is our substance of things hoped for, evidence of things not seen. Stand to your feet, please. My Heavenly Father, thank you for giving me the power to preach this service this morning. Sometimes when our weakness, we can be our best, Lord. Please honor yourself today. Holy Spirit, exalt Jesus Christ. In our hearts, words can do so much, but you can do so much more after. I'm so grateful to understand what little bit my peanut mind can understand about you. And dear Father, it doesn't mean that we've arrived yet. We have so much to learn. But we do know this. Our faith has set it straight who Jesus Christ is. Lord, you said he was your son, your only begotten son. Now faith is my substance for that, is my evidence for that. I believe this book. Dear Father, I also realize you said there's coming a day you're going to take us home. You're preparing a place for us, you said. If you prepare a place, you come again, receive us unto yourself. My faith now, present tense, gives me substance of that, evidence of that. Help someone see that today. That helps me then see that, Lord, everything here is sight. One day that which I trust by faith, I'm going into it, and I'm going to see it with sight, and it'll be faith no more. God will have brought just what he said and brought everything to a climax at the end like he promised. Help our faith to be strong. You said you measure out everyone who's saved. Lord, I measure faith. We can grow in grace and knowledge. One thing is for sure, though, you said, for by grace are you saved through faith, and that not of yourself is a gift of God. No one ever be saved without believing the record that God gave his son. That's what John said, 1 John 5. We believe the record that God gave of his son. That's all we have, Lord. If this is not your record of what you did, then we have no evidence on it. but this is your record, and your record becomes your evidence. And we thank you for that. Help someone today to see Jesus Christ as the way of life, their only hope, either here, by radio, or upstream. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen.